Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 26. A witness with us is the message for our consideration from God's Word. Thank God for bringing you to church today. What brings you to church? There was a man whom God saved and called to the ministry as a pastor who recounted how God saved him and brought him to church. He had that emptiness and yearning in his heart for God to fill his life. He was scheduled, he says in his testimony, for a European tour with his wife. And he testified that on that Lord's Day, before he left for his Europe trip, he was invited to go to a local church for worship. And he was there in that local church in his country. And he says that as he sat in the worship service, he says that there was a sense of holiness in that place. He observed the sanctity of the sanctuary, and he testified that the ushers were behaving in very orderly, dignified, godly manner, and he could sense that he was in the presence of God in worship. This was his experience with God that Sunday when he first came to the house of God. And then he went for his tour. And in Europe, he could not see, he says, in that 1 month or so that he was away, could not see or feel the presence of God as he did in the local church. He says, he testified, he says that, you know, I went to many cathedrals, beautiful buildings, but I could not feel a sense of the presence of God. Many of the cathedrals and churches, he commented, were turned into theaters and places of entertainment. And so upon his return, he began to worship each Lord's Day in that local church. He received Jesus Christ into his life. And that began the spiritual journey in his life, where his one sole ambition in life was to know Jesus deeply and to preach Jesus fully. God changed him from within as he encountered God in worship. He devoted his life in the proclamation of the gospel. And today, he is a pastor of a thriving congregation, actively witnessing for Christ. He understood from the deepest recesses of his life, of his heart, that Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world. The souls that are perishing without hope will perish without hope if there is not someone to reach them with the good news. Dear friends, can you articulate if someone were to ask you, what is the church? I submit to you that the church is God's people. The church is God's people. The word church is from the Greek word ekklesia, which means called out ones. The term is derived from a root verb that means to call. And so the church is therefore a people called out by God. You are a people called out by God from the world. And as we go through our Christian life, we spend time in the study of God's Word. And personally, I have this definition that I learned from the study of the book of Ephesians, written by the Apostle Paul. He says this concerning what is the Christian life. What is the church? Well, I submit to you that the church is a privileged people separated from sin unto holiness. We are a purchased people in intimate fellowship with the living and true God. Something very special. Something very magnificent and significant in your life, in my life. And we are also a protected people destined for heaven. This was how the Apostle Paul summarized the Christian life, the church, the people of God, in the opening verses of the book of Ephesians. That we are chosen by the Father. We are a people chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So this is a big picture, a big idea that gives to us who we are. And as we proceed, I'd like to ask another question. What is the purpose for the church's existence? A church needs to understand from the very beginning what it is so that it can know what direction it is going. Very legitimate question for all of us. The truth, dear friends, is that God is at work in this world through His church, through this body, the local church. The presence of God is with us when the people of God gather for worship. And God's purpose is fulfilled through His church. This is what we see in our text, the story of the infant church in its prayer meeting. It was a prayer meeting, as we saw last week, that lasted 10 days, a part of the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and His ascension. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is going to come, and the Holy Spirit is going to fill them, the Bible says, to be witnesses for Christ from Jerusalem to the uttermost part of the world. And we see that they were tarrying with the Lord in united prayer meeting. And you recall our thoughts last week, coming to pray and comrades in prayer. Every one of them that were assembled there, the 120 of them, have experienced God in their lives. They did not come because they were there, they were curious. But God has done something in their lives. They understood who this Christ is. And remember, they were assembled in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the place where their master has just been crucified not long ago. And so to be identified with this Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a dangerous thing. And for all these men to want to proclaim Christ and want to stand with Christ, to be identified with Him, is something that takes some conviction of the heart. And we can see, right, from the testimony of this group of men and women that truly They were touched by the Spirit of God. They were willing to give priority to fulfill God's word in their lives. They were waiting upon God to show them the way. Two thoughts for today as we consider a witness with us. According to Scripture, verses 15 to 20, according to God's choosing, verses 21 to 26. You see, at the close of our Lord's life, we saw that one of the 12 disciples betrayed him. And Judas Iscariot was that man who betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was so filled with a different spirit that it caused him to betray the love, the trust that his master has given to him, to choose him to be an apostle. You know, in the life of Jesus Christ, he only chose 12 men. 12 men to be his apostles. Men who knew him and men who would represent him correctly. But there was that one man, Judas Iscariot, who departed, left the fold. And here we see how the Lord was working out his will in that intermediate time between before the Lord would fill them with the Spirit and there would be a big explosion for the church to begin moving as an organism of growth that, you know, will be unstoppable for the next many tens and hundreds of years. It was in that interim period, that quiet moment, that the Lord would cause them to choose an apostle, a leader that would be with the group, preparing for the growth to come. And so this first thought, that this person was someone, or this intention, this plan to choose this man was according to Scriptures, verse 15 and 16 of our text. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. And he said, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, which by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." It's very interesting that the disciples were gathered where? In the upper room. And you remember, the upper room was a very significant place. It was a place when Jesus conducted the last Passover or the first Lord's Supper. And it was also in that room that Judas betrayed our Lord. You recall, he left the room and Jesus said, "What you are doing, do quickly." And Jesus said that he was together with them and yet he would be that son of perdition. He would betray his Lord. And so as the disciples were gathered there in that upper room, reflecting, thinking about what has gone on all this time, right, thought would have come upon this man called Judas. And they were spending time, not just praying, right, but they were spending time understanding the will of God for them. They wanted to know what God would want them to do. And God did not leave them without understanding. But the Lord has preserved for them 39 books of the Hebrew Old Testament Bible, record of all that God had said concerning His purpose in it. And so you see here in our text telling us that Peter has been spending time together with the rest in fervent Bible study. When we search the scriptures, when we spend time in the Word of God, we would therein be able to find the guidance of God for life. The psalmist says in Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, in his prayer, he says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." So as the disciples were there praying, what were they doing? Well, they were there searching the scriptures, seeking true guidance from the Lord by His word. There was a pastor who made a very good comment. He says, two things go together in the Christian life: prayer, in which we talk to God, and Bible study, in which God talks to us. Prayer is of great importance. But he remarked, he says, somebody once said, I think wisely, that when we are talking to God and God is talking to us, we had better let God do most of the talking. And he says, in other words, we should spend most of our time in Bible study. As we come before God every Wednesday for our prayer meeting, we would take time to study the Word of God. And this was what the disciples were doing. They were taking time to know from the Scriptures the will of God. And so they took time to search the Old Testament. They took time to search the Old Testament for prophecies, for predictions concerning the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, there is that continuing story of the Old Testament. He is the Messiah that was prophesied to come, and that He has come. And all this scripture has been fulfilled. And so as they spend time thinking about this Christ, they wanted to know, did the Bible tell us further concerning the future? We are told to wait. Yes, we wait in a very intelligent way when we take time to seek the will of God in the study of His Word. And so, as you think about the assembly of the disciples, we want us to consider and think that Jesus Christ, before His ascension, met with them and spoke to them and instructed them. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Jesus met them after His resurrection. Luke 24, 44. And He said unto the disciples, "These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. The law of Moses referred to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, right? What we call the law. And in the prophets. Well, the prophetic books of the Bible is recorded for us, right? What God has deemed fit to be written. And in the Psalms, the wisdom literature. This is the summary of the Old Testament scriptures. And then Jesus said in verse 45, He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so Jesus gave them the crux of the Old Testament. What was the Old Testament scripture all about? They were pointing to the man Jesus Christ, the Messiah that is to come. And so the Messiah has come. And what were they to do? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. The Lord wants us to know, as witnesses, as we were mentioning, right? A witness is someone who speaks because he has seen something, and he has heard something, and he is convicted in his heart of something. He is a witness. And so the Lord says to these disciples before He was ascended that they are to be witnesses for Him. And He says that, Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And so the disciples were so happy. They heard all these words. And now they are gathered there. And having heard what Christ has spoken to them concerning what has been fulfilled in the scriptures, now He is directing them, showing to them that they are to go deeper, understand what they are to do. And so as they search the scriptures, right, Peter was filled, we said, with the leading of God to observe certain things. You see how in our text, he says in verse 17, For he was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry. So Peter was concerned about this man Judas, right? As they searched the scriptures, they found there's something that needs fulfilled, that is written in the Word of God. And this was highlighted in two texts of the scriptures that Peter would highlight, and he said it in verse 20. Right? It is written in the scriptures, the book of Psalms, right? He quoted Psalm 69, verse 25. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. And Psalm 109, verse 8. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Peter, in searching the scripture, came to this understanding, led by the Spirit of God, to know that David, who has written these Psalms, has a purpose, and it was to be fulfilled right, in an understanding that the Lord would want them to do concerning this man Judas, who had betrayed the Lord. Right, as you read through Psalm 109 and Psalm 69, right, I took some time to read through the psalm. Right, as you read through, you can do so later, you would be able to find that it was not just David speaking, but the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ, was speaking through those words. And there is a message that was to be received, right? That's concerning the betrayer of Judas. How this man who betrayed our Lord needs to be replaced. And, you know, the witness of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was a gap when Judas defected. Out of the 12, now there is 11. And so Peter stood up and Peter said, he affirmed, right, that David did not write the Psalms, but by his own thinking, by his own volition, but rather through the Holy Spirit. Right, that's what he said later on when he wrote his epistle, right, 1 Peter 1:21. He says this, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Spirit of God filled him, and the Spirit of God showed him," right, that there is a need to replace this man, Judas, who has defected. And so he described the end of Judas. You recall, as you study this text, that there were two persons that was highlighted by our Lord. Particularly, and as we were studying Matthew's Gospel, right, that section where Judas betrayed the Lord, right, how he went out and committed suicide, and how there was another man later, Peter, you recall when we were studying the text, how he repented. He also betrayed the Lord. He betrayed the Lord three times. But he came back to the Lord. He repented of his sins. But this Judas did not seek God in true repentance. His heart was not with God. There was that, I would call it, sin in his heart. That greed in his heart. You remember there was one time when there was a woman who came and took a whole box of perfume to anoint our Lord Jesus Christ. Right, and Judas was the man who came to Jesus and said to the rest, "Why waste this good perfume on this man? Right? When you can give it to the poor." Right? This was given to us in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 4-5, and Jesus says, "Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this." So this man, Judas, was not one in heart with the disciples. His purpose of life was different. He was after filthy lucre. He was after an earthly gain. He was willing to sell his master for 30 pieces of silver. And how much is that? Well, that's the price of a slave. Meager amount. Right? So what we want us to see when the Lord moved by His Spirit to choose another man to fill the gap was that the Lord wanted to raise another man with the same heart, with the same purpose, with the same conversion, with the same mind to serve their master. A witness with us. Very important. Every one of those witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ who were gathered there were, you may say, the elite soldiers. You know, they were the ones who have gone through all the pain of life. They have counted their cost. Every one of them has counted their cost. That's why they are there. They understood the value, the significance of what they are doing, and that's why they are there. And the Lord says, now that there is a gap, there is someone missing, right? You need another man. And therefore, the Lord would raise another man from our midst. And so you see that the disciples did not do their own things, but they took time to search the scriptures. And as they came to the Psalms, right, they saw in the Psalms the declared will of God, right, how the position of Judas needs to be filled by someone else. Psalm 69 verse 25, Psalm 109 verse 8. And so Peter stood up and requested that such a man be chosen. And so it was this witness that was with the Lord, was a man who was according to the scriptures. I mean, in the sense that the need for such a choice, to make such a choice at this time, right, was because God's word says so. And you remember that the disciples were a group of witnesses, or a group of men and women who have really understood life with God. They will not move until God tells them to. They understood that unless God gives them the instruction, they are not going to do their own things, because it would be to their own harm. And therefore, they waited. But here it is. Right? Scripture says they are to do this, and therefore they are doing this. And so it was a man, or it was a choice according to scriptures and according to God's choosing, verses 21 to 26. Right? It says here who this candidate will be. Wherefore, of this man which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And so the criteria was given that this apostle must be someone who has spent time with Christ. Someone who has known Christ deeply, so that he may be a witness for Christ fully. So that was the criteria that was given. He needs to know, right from the beginning, right? The baptism of John is a description of the beginning of Christ's ministry. All right, so someone who has seen the Lord from the beginning. He is someone who have understood with no doubt who this resurrected Christ is. All right. And you know, we have been spending time in the study of the Gospels, in the book of Matthew. As we spend time to know this Christ, if we have taken time to study 28 chapters, we would be able to come to a deep understanding of who this Christ is. And having known Him, well, the Lord tells us that now there is a need, right, for one to be ordained, to be a witness with us of His resurrection. And so, the Lord wants us to see, right, that this person must be someone that is in their midst, right? Someone who had known Christ. Someone who has heart and mind and soul with the Lord in His mission. Very important. Because once the Spirit will come, Pentecost will begin. You know, the first preaching, 3,000 were saved. The next time, 5,000. Suddenly, the church is going to explode. And the leaders must be ready. And so the Lord has said that this is to be done. And they appointed two, right? Joseph, called Barsabbas, right? The name Barsabbas, well, means son of the Sabbath. Right? Possibly he was perhaps born on the Sabbath. And you know, you see also another man, right, by the name of Justus. What do you mean by that? Well, that's his name. Right, his nickname was Justus. It means just and righteous. Right, and another second man, right, called Matthias. Right, two men were chosen, and both of them had seen the Lord and were with Him from the beginning. Right, they could identify two out of the 120 that were with them. And who to choose? Who to choose? Well, they cast lots. This was the acceptable means of determining God's will in the Old Testament. And you see how the Lord used that to choose one among equals. As our late pastor, Reverend Timothy Toh, said in his book, Pattern for Church Growth and Missions, the lot was cast, and the person that was chosen was Matthias. And so this was the event that took place in which the Lord caused the group to prepare themselves for the for the work to come. So the infant church was preparing itself for the subsequent growth that will come, and the leadership was strengthened with another witness that is like-minded to co-labor for the extension of God's kingdom. And so the disciples prayed and sought the Lord's will, and the lot was cast, and it came upon Matthias. And our text tells us in verse 26, they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 12 apostles. The Lord made no mistakes in His choice of His men. And we see here how the Lord, by His guidance, prepared the infant church. And it's so interesting, isn't it, to know that throughout the way, they didn't have to make their own decisions. Right? God showed them. And it is the same for us. We need to seek the Lord. God will show us. Who will serve with us? A witness with us. Indeed, for the work of the extension of God's kingdom, there is a need for many hands. And the Lord will call men and women into fellowship in the local church to be His, to be witnesses, co-laborers with Him. If the Lord were to call you, would you hearken to the call? Would you come forward to serve? May the Lord guide us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray and ask that Thou would bless the preaching of Thy word. We want to thank Thee for this text of Scripture. As the infant church wait upon Thee, Lord, Thou hast renewed the leadership and Thou hast preparing them for the future. O God, may Thou strengthen the preaching of Thy word to the blessing of Thy people as we learn important principles and truths concerning how we too can be a witness for Thee in our time, in our generation. O Lord, may Thou raise men and women of Thy choice to serve in Thy vineyard according to Thy will for Thy own glory. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen.